ourselves to our duties, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
All right.
Should we get started with the regular order?
Absolutely.
All right. We wrapped up our last session, and incidentally, the last mission in the Mediterranean in October 1943. You guys had secured a specimen of unknown origin for N and Network N's investigations, and moved on to recover an advancement. And it's been an interesting last number of, let's say, 5 months or so, 4.5 or 5 months. During that time, you've been attending to friends and family, if you have them. Robert has naturally been up to his own devices. while uneventful as far as missions go, you have heard murmurs of lost agents on other missions. You know, where they were lost, how they were lost, but certainly the number of agents who've been lost under Network N has been rising recently. You've also heard whisperings of botched missions, missions that have fallen apart for some reason or another. Who will really ever know? And even the cooler, location up in Scotland where a few of you have gone to recover from time to time, has been filling up. And those of you who have continued with your mental health checks and treatments have found it difficult to find time to get up there as the staff have been overworked. So it's certainly been an unusual time. You have, however, in February of 1944, have been summoned by N, and within short order and by a circuitous route, find yourself on the U.S. Navy Roanoke, which is a cruiser, and you find yourself in the North Sea, in between England and mainland Europe. You had really nothing other from anything other than from N, just a message to be at a certain port in England at a certain time. And a short journey took you to catching up with the Roanoke. As a group, the five of you make your way via escort. You know, obviously you're on an American ship. And an escort takes you down to the lower levels within the ship. And you're winding your way through the hallways and through hatches, passing other enlisted naval personnel. And in through a hatch and into what appears to be a small office of some kind. It seems somewhat out of place. On a naval ship, and in fact, you are greeted by a young man at what appears to be a front desk, and he is seated behind it. And as you enter, he looks up at you, and he goes, "Ah, welcome. I am Mr. Smith, conveniently enough." And I guess really the first thing you notice about him, other than his age, is that he is in a suit and tie. Which seems sharply dressed for sure, but perhaps out of place. Everyone give me a spot hidden roll.
Hugh. That might be the first one.
Oh, extreme.
The other time
extreme,
I rolled
extreme,
hard, critical, extreme.
And now we will fail everything else.
Exactly. The only other time I rolled a one was 2 weeks ago when we were trying to increase our abilities, and that's not what I wanted to roll.
So. That's what you wanted, yes. Well, you guys are off, except for Robert, are off to a fine start. Those of you who passed, miraculously, you notice a visitor's register on the desk.
Putting those extremes to good use. So
mission accomplished.
Critical on that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's sitting on his desk, and it's a clipboard with a pen, and your eyes catch the columns for name and date and person you're visiting, that kind of thing. I'm sorry, what was that, Jeff?
Who all has signed it?
It's entirely blank at this point.
Couldn't even be any names on it for us to read.
None that you see.
I'll put my name on it.
Okay. Burst into flames.
No, that's kidding. How they get you.
Dr. Z, as you have reached for the pen, the gentleman quickly stops you. The young man quickly stops you and says, that's not necessary. And he pulls the register kind of away from the group back towards his end of the desk. Follow me, please. And he stands up and starts leading you through a hallway through the back end of the room. And you start making your way through, stepping again over the hatchways and through the various doors. And you start to hear voices in discussion coming from within. And you actually step by a room where these voices are coming from. And you pass what appears to be, at a quick glance, a meeting room. And there is a long table surrounded by a number of men, some in military uniforms, seated in chairs, and cigar smoke hangs thickly in the air of that room. But the young man from the front desk passes that room and takes you to yet another room.
Should we pause and kind of linger for a second and listen, or just pass on?
Up to you. I mean, if you'd like to try to linger.
Sure.
Yeah. What's this guy going to do to us?
There's what appears to be a senior naval officer in a kind of white dress uniform. And he catches you perhaps lingering about outside the door and gives you a somewhat of a cross stare.
Robert, give him a little crazy eye.
I can do that.
Okay.
Maybe he thinks that we're normal British guys that might be intimidated by a cross stare.
Yeah. He nods away from you, perhaps at somebody else around the room. And in a moment,
I'm gonna keep staring at him.
A young soldier, a young naval seaman stands up and closes the door.
Oh, good. Then we can stand there without them worrying about looking at us.
Right, put that glass up to the door.
Yeah. Gentlemen, this way, please. And madam, please, this way, please.
Speaking of the guy being dressed in a suit, which is weird. What are we dressed in? Are we also dressed in civvies, or did they have us put on uniforms?
Up to you. You were not directed in any way particular.
We would have decided that based on what we thought we were getting into, but it sounds like we really didn't know.
Yeah, so certainly, I guess, first of all, it was a little bit of a long journey. I think you would probably expect that your military uniforms.
Right. I mean, if we're going on a base, like I'm assuming,
yeah,
up at a base, we'd probably be wearing.
Yeah. I mean, none of you are dresses. Truly. What I take maybe Eva.
No, we were all intelligence.
officer. Yeah, like through your training, you've all kind of become de facto one way or the other, either in name or in practice, you have military rank.
Oh, and I'm sure Hugh has all sorts of ribbons and shit.
Hugh's got, no, he
would insist on wearing them.
Yes,
I actually
swimming polo himself. Champion. Well, 1924.
This is not the U.S. Army. We don't get ribbons for everything. We could have no ribbons at this time, actually.
But I think Hugh would have ribbons for things that were not the best. That's just my impression.
I imagine he'd have some kind of sash that goes across the entire uniform.
A knighthood.
Knight of the Garter.
Right? Well, yeah, massive epaulets.
Or maybe he's like got a Zouave, or however you say that uniform, you know, with a little red sash and a cap. Maybe he wears a fez.
Maybe. You guys.
All right.
Jealousy is a stinky perfume.
All right.
Have you guys been aging your characters? I hope you
have. What was that, Jeff?
I hope you've been aging your characters. We're 1944 now.
Oh, yeah, I kind of forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. He was 33.
We started in 40, right?
39, didn't we?
39.
May of 40.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know when my birthday is. Nobody knows.
And down here, you can really feel the interior and hear the interior of the ship.
I can hear it.
It's like you're there.
And unlike real life, I will be turning it down a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you have to control that on your end.
Yeah. Yeah, I had the volume all the way up.
Oh, yeah, bye, Fred Boat.
Realistic.
Oh, and we've got a view through the porthole. I can watch the video.
No, there is not, is there?
Gentlemen, yeah. This way, Mr. Drew is waiting for you.
Stop watching YouTube and follow me.
So he leads you to this door and opens up, and you find what appears to be yet another office. This one a little bit smaller. And inside, standing and smiling, is Jurrin Vanderpoel. Who really is only someone that Hugh and Robert would recognize.
I remember that name.
Robert's memory is not so good.
Yeah, well, let me help you out with a picture.
Control F.
Help you with a picture or two.
That was second session or first session? I don't remember now.
That's the first?
No.
Jurrin is the head of the resistance.
I do remember Jurrin. Yeah,
in Lysogen.
Oh, this is first session.
Yeah. So, also in the room, you see. Make sure I don't knock myself out again. You see N. You see Major Bothroyd. And someone who you don't recognize, who introduces himself as Mr. Drew. Gentlemen, madam. Welcome aboard. Ah. Yes, my team has finally arrived, says N. Thank you for joining us on such short notice. We appreciate it. But the Major and I have been expecting you. And there's a lot of work ahead. So please, have a seat. So, of course, you guys, those of you recognize N, some of you perhaps recognize Major Bothroyd. Mm-hmm. He did the original briefing for the original mission to Vlesigen. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, Jurrin was the head of the Danish resistance there.
Yeah, it would just be you and I that recognized Bothroyd.
Exactly. Yeah. I can't remember if he came up in any other sessions. You know, he's traditionally has been the go-between network and the SOE. But Jurrin, I am Jurrin. Ha, listen to my accent. And he comes up to Robert and Hugh and kind of clasps you on your shoulders with one hand each and says, "Ah, it has been so long. It has been nearly 4 long years. So much has changed. I am, although I'm saddened, I've heard of our mutual friends. I understand Eric and Tane and Oliver are no longer with us. That brings me much sadness."
Robert will look uncomfortable with this.
Yes.
But he'll put a fake smile on his face. And it looks, yeah. it looks really
so,
really
so will Hugh. Hugh doesn't like all this emotional.
Yeah. So now, Jeff, I asked you to kind of back off the mic.
I was waiting for it.
But I've got you turned all the way up on my end, and you're still near quiet.
I can't hear anything.
Okay, hang on.
Yeah. Just a second. Go in between. Yeah.
How's that?
That's great.
Good.
Okay, good.
That's great.
How's that?
It's great. Exactly. Eva, did you have something to say?
You kept saying Danish resistance. I think you mean Dutch resistance.
He does.
Yeah. Dutch resistance. Those same thing,
deep,
right?
Well, just so your accent is appropriate.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
If you do a Danish accent, Dutch accent, it's going to ruin the whole session.
Yeah. Some inaccurate Danish accent.
Yeah. Sorry, my Copenhagen and Amsterdam were mixed up. So, yes, my Dutch resistance. Okay. And then Mr. Drew, that he approaches and he starts to shake hands, attempts to shake hands with each of you. His eyes are cold and blue, and he has what appears to be a thin-lipped and somewhat unconvincing smile. Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard. Drew. And
is he British or American?
He's American.
Okay.
And while he's making his introductions, N chimes in and says, "You can consider Mr. Drew here a friend. We are in, shall we say, the same line of business."
Well, I think we're all in the same boat.
And then
two drink minimum.
At that point, Drew kind of motions everybody to take a seat. As gentlemen, lady, I know you are curious as to why you've been called here this great distance. Our governments need your aid in a matter of utmost importance. Because you are already familiar with the town of Lysogen, I feel that there's no need for me to explain why your government has been involved, but also just know that my government has been involved as well.
I would assume that the folks that weren't on the Lysogen mission would have been briefed at some point.
Yeah, you guys typically know that something went down there, and perhaps just as a quick reminder. Good segue there, Duck.
You're welcome.
Let me recap a little bit of what is known about the incidents in Lysogen in the past. So hopefully you guys can see the map of the North Sea. You'll see a mark with a red arrow and some text that indicates where the Roanoke currently is located, that you guys are on. The Lysogen is to the east, as if within that red box. So it's kind of on this island formation.
I don't see any of that.
Is there something you have to unhide?
Yeah.
I see the pictures of the four people and the picture
in the boat.
Yep. All right. Yep. Let's see what I can do here.
Never get out of the boat.
Ah, gosh, mm-hmm. Darn it. No, roll 20, he just kicked me out again. I'm not too happy about that.
Yearn looks really happy.
Yay, war!
Too happy. Kind of looks like the most interesting man in the world.
A little bit. Oh, there we go.
Oh, there we are.
All right. And did you get like a kind of close to full screen view of that now?
Yeah. Wait, let's see. Like mine is very small.
Oh, it's very small.
But if I click on the little
zoom, it does. It's, yeah. Oh, then you gotta click on it. Woo.
Yeah.
Looks like a Mark Sinanich map.
Yes.
Yeah. It
what
is.
What game's it from?
Welcome to Session 1, boys.
Yeah. Session 1. France 40.
Oh, France 40. I thought I recognized how that came.
All right, so I've marked approximately on the map where the Roanoke currently is located, where you guys are. A little USN mark. And to the east, in that red box.
I thought you didn't wipe out all like the tables and stuff. They're pixelated, I think.
I know, I didn't really have a good tool for
yeah, it's like, but it's got me thinking it's like a penis because I watched too much Jack.
something inappropriate has been pixeled out. Don't worry, the money shot's never pixelated. Or so I've heard.
That's
you'd be surprised.
That's right. So you see Vlissingen, and then to the west you see Dunkirk, just for reference of, and interestingly enough, this initial mission took place right around the time that the British or the Expeditionary Force was trapped there at Dunkirk and about ready to make their escape. But during that time, the team was in Vlissingen. Four of them, Hugh, Robert, Tane, and Oliver, had made their way via some sort of patrol boat to the town, and were instructed to meet up with someone who had brought a valuable artifact. And in short order, they were introduced or met with Eric, who had this fancy medallion. Name I have written down somewhere, doesn't really matter. And for the next couple days, they were in Vlissingen investigating and helping the resistance. They were fighting in houses, they were running around town, and ultimately uncovered some cult activity at the very end of their time. There was a shootout in a warehouse where perhaps a sacrifice was taking place. They saw a had partial view of a monstrous fish-like, reptile-like creature who was there momentarily and then escaped. And that's, you could, if you wanted to, you could go back in the journal all the way back into session one. But basically, that's the gist of what happened not quite 4 years ago in Vlissingen.
Jesus. God, we started playing this in 2016. We're almost doing this real time.
We're all almost almost doing this real time. So you guys are, it turns out, making your way back to Vlissingen, perhaps. And Mr. Drew has just indicated that the respective governments and the respective investigative networks have an interest in Vlissingen. And in fact, you can tell without a spot hidden roll that Urine has an anxious look on his face, a saddened look on his face. And also the connection to Vlissingen also probably, explains his presence here. Mr. Drew, continues, a lengthy investigation by U.S. agents has revealed the need for swift and sure measures to be taken against the widespread activities occurring in that town. There is no need for me to elaborate to you the vile and disgusting practices some of these cutthroats and criminals are rumored to indulge in. Although the figures are sketchy, we now assume that at least half of the people in that town are involved in a conspiracy, one that reaches all the way up to the most powerful families in town. And with that, Urine turns to Hugh and Robert and says, "My friends, I've lost many agents, either in fighting this conspiracy or even to those who have joined on to the other side. I've heard monstrous stories of things that have happened the last handful of years. The Lysogen is not as I remember it. Despite the war, it was always a friendly and kind town. Now, things have taken a direct turn for the worse. And with that, Mr. Drew continues. Needless to say, an action of this type must be handled with delicacy, not only to avoid alerting the criminal element, but also because the action might be viewed as by some as a violation of the Geneva Convention. Make no mistake about it, we will be instituting martial law upon the entire town, but really our governments feel that there is no alternative. Before I can speak any further, I must ask you to sign these documents, oaths of secrecy, binding you to keep secret any events that you should witness or take part in over the next couple of days.
Robert will snort.
If you wish, you may choose not to sign. In this case, you will be escorted to accommodations on the ship, and you may refuse to get on the spaceship heading out of town, a la Traveler. No, just kidding. By law, we can hold you, any of you, for up to 72 hours without charges or arrest. We have no desire to inconvenience you, but due to the secrecy necessary to this operation, it is essential that we maintain security. Your needs will be provided for, and all will be done to see to it that you are made comfortable. And with that, N stands up and says, Drew, I can vouch for my team. We can dispense of these formalities. These documents are not necessary. I have full confidence that my team understands what is at stake here and is willing to step up.
Robert's going to look it in and give him a little half nod.
Yes. And
like, hey, that's the first decent thing you've ever done, motherfucker.
A lot to communicate in a slight nod.
Mm-hmm.
Comes across.
Well, fair enough. Nonetheless, the government has need of your aid and your experience in these matters. Apparently, some of you know as much or more about this town than we've yet been able to learn. You should understand that participation will involve a certain amount of personal risk.
Robert's going to snort again.
As does you.
We would like each of you to accompany different bodies of troops taking part in the raid, acting primarily as advisors and experts that will be entering the town and engaging in other operations. You will, of course, be under the command of U.S. military officers and subject to their orders.
Hugh rolls his eyes.
Make no mistake, we have every reason to expect armed resistance. Are you willing to aid your government? Please join me in the adjoining room. And he gets up to leave.
So Vissingen is still under Nazi occupation too, though, right?
You would think it would be.
Right.
At this time in the war.
Okay. So a Nazi-occupied town where 50% of the population is involved in cult activity, and four academics and a handful of troops are supposed to implement martial law?
Yes. Well, you have not heard the full plan of Project Covenant. More will be revealed. Will be revealed momentarily. Follow me. Everybody give me a no roll.
Alright, which one is that?
It's like
intelligence, it's intelligence or the other
yes.
one?
Okay. It's not education. Hard, baby. Robert is
seriously.
That's corkscrew hard for the duck.
Mm-hmm. All right. So some of you passed. Okay. So Project Covenant is the name that the government has assigned to this top secret undertaking. Those of you who passed, you recognize the name as being derived from the biblical study found in the book of Samuel, describing how the Ark of the Covenant dismembered a statue of Dagon at Ashdod. Those of you who passed.
Or on the Ark of the Covenant. This is one of the big ones.
Don't look at it.
Those of you who passed, give me a Cthulhu Mythos roll.
First time I've rolled one of those.
What about you, Z?
Oh, I did not pass it.
Can I spend 3 luck so that I actually pass Jun's roll?
Pass which roll?
Jun's roll.
His no roll.
So that I go through this. Or am I not allowed to gun intelligence rolls?
No, you can do a roll if you like.
Okay, so I'm down to 46 luck.
So that was to pass your no roll?
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
That was well spent.
Yeah, so, that's all right. So, Eva, Project Covenant is the name of the government has assigned to this top secret undertaking. The name is derived from the biblical study found in the book of Samuel, describing how the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, you got it. Now you want to roll your Cthulhu Mythos?
Fine.
You already have.
So, Samuel.
Did we lose him?
Ty?
Yeah, he was. You're breaking up hard.
Yeah. Bandwidth.
Pay your damn bills.
Usually Connecticut's better than that.
Oh?
Hello? Yep.
We heard hello.
Am I a little better now?
But yeah, you're not
you're
great.
You're still T-painting a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. Let me log out and get back in.
Okay.
Morning, boo.
All right.
Well, while we wait for Gersh, should we read the first book of Samuel, chapter 5?
If you like.
BibleHub.com. After the Philistines captured the Ark of God, they took it from Ebenezer to Ashdod, carried it into the temple of Dagon, and set it beside a statue. When the people of Ashdod got up early in the morning, there was Dagon fallen on his face before the Ark of the Lord. So they took Dagon and returned him to his place. But when they got up early the next morning, there was Dagon fallen on his face before the Ark of the Lord, in all caps, with his head and hands broken off and lying on the threshold. Only the torso remained. That is why, to this day, the priests of Dagon and all who enter the temple of Dagon in Ashdod do not step on the threshold. That doesn't really follow. Oh, it was his hands were lying on the threshold.
What is a Dagon? What's an Ashdod?
Well, I'm guessing it's some pagan shit.
Okay, you guys hear me now or no?
That's better.
Where's the glossary for the Bible?
What was that? It's the Act of annotated Samuel, the Covenant. What now?
Let's see.
Destroyed
the name, you know, the name is derived from the biblical study found in the book of Samuel, describing how the Ark of the Covenant dismembered a statue of Dagon at Ashdod.
A statue of Dagon at Ashdod.
Ashdod.
By the way, Ashdod is the people who live in Ashdod are Philistines. So you know what Philistines are.
Oh, it's in Israel. Okay, actually, still is a town.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So yes, Drew kind of leads you back to the room that was closed off to you earlier, where the voices were coming from and where you saw the other military men. He opens the door, and inside you see a number of people seated around the table and introductions are done. You are introduced. You are introduced to some Marine officers. There's Major Maines, Captain Corso, and Lieutenant Dowd. You also meet a Commander Hurst from the U.S. Navy, and also a civilian who appears. You can, by appearance and perhaps by voice, to be a civilian and an East Indian, Dr. Najjar, who he identifies himself as a parapsychologist. And then finally, you are introduced to Colonel James Roffler. And Roffler was the source of the cigar smoke and also was the person who caught somebody's eye and then signaled for the door to be closed. You judge by the amount of medals and his age that he is perhaps in charge to some degree. He is introduced as being the lead here from Naval Intelligence. As a group, the five of you are introduced as British advisors who, like Dr. Najjar, have generously offered to lend their aid. And once everybody makes introductions and shakes hands, everybody takes seats except for Mr. Drew and Roffler, who remain standing. Urine quickly closes the door and sits down beside Major Bothroyd and N. And from his pocket, Major Maines pulls out a flask and invites anyone who's interested to have a sip of whiskey. And at that point, Dr. Najjar says, "Oh, no, I could not, of course not, I could not. But perhaps some tea would be welcome." And the young man who you met at the front office stands up and leaves for a moment. Mr. Drew stops him. James, I do have a first-rate bottle of Irish whiskey in my desk. If anybody would care to partake." And he kind of looks around.
Robert's going to raise an eyebrow.
Anybody would
Robert will give him a nod. Okay. I'll move his chin. Yeah. No, I'll raise my
none for me, thank you.
I'll be rude not to say.
Okay. James, some tea and the whiskey, please. All right. So Drew, as I said, Drew and Roffler remain standing. Everyone is seated around this conference table. By this point, with everybody, this room is quite crowded. Drew begins outlining the situation in Vlissigen. He speaks of suspected kidnappings, murders, white slavery. He references a degenerate religious cult that perhaps underlies all of these activities. He even makes mention of monstrous atrocities or monstrosities, hidden away in houses throughout the city, throughout the town, that are thought to be the unfortunate results of inbreeding or perhaps captives held by the cult. And with that, he says, I would ask Colonel Roffler to provide us with the details behind the mission ahead of us. And with that, Roffler walks over to an easel and reveals a map.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So hopefully on one side of the screen, you guys should now be able to see a map of Vlissigen.
Yeah, it looks vaguely familiar. I think the cult HQ is still even in the same spot.
Oh, there we are.
It could be.
Oh, yeah,
Rothler begins. He speaks with his cigar as somewhat of a pointer as he talks to individuals and as he points to areas on the map. He brandishes his cigar like a pointer and he outlines the mission. Most of you have been briefed individually, and you know what your missions are. But for the benefit of all of us, particularly those of us that have joined recently, we will quickly go over the operation. There are numerous objectives we wish to achieve, but the capture and questioning of all citizens of the town is paramount. To accomplish this, penetrating actions by small groups of Marines will either capture inhabitants or drive them inland, where they will be intercepted by roadblocks and patrols of Marines sweeping into the town from the west. Hopefully, there will be a minimum of civilian casualties. It is also the intention of our governments that this operation be handled in a way that avoids arousing the fears or anxieties of neighboring communities. To this end, we have purposely chosen to approach this problem with a minimum of manpower. We don't wish to attract attention. News of the action will be released to the public once the government has had the time to properly assess the situation. I can let you know that the Germans have largely abandoned the town, or perhaps they have joined forces with the religious cult. I can't say for sure. And with that, some of you catch Urin nodding as if in agreement, in a modest fashion, just a slight nod to his head. The assaults will be coordinated efforts of several different groups, each operating separately. Central to the plan is the capture and the capture of the headquarters of the religious cult, the Esoteric Order of Dagon. And he kind of points out this section of the map. Once I get my pointer going, right there, the red circle. Two squads of Marines, led by Captain Corso, have been assigned to this task. And Captain Corso stands up about halfway in his chair, and he nods to the team. He's in his late 20s, and he's handsome and intelligent looking. And at that point, N chimes in. Dr. Z, you will be serving as advisor to the raid on the religious headquarters.
Very good.
And then back to the colonel. Corso squads in white camouflage will enter town from the west, traveling down the frozen river, using the gorge for cover. They will exit the gorge and move north to the green, entering the hall through the front entrance if possible. All found within are to be taken prisoner. Certain cult leaders may be encountered here and can be identified by the robes and golden jewelry they are wearing. These individuals must not be allowed to escape. The Marines have orders to shoot if necessary. And then Rothler gestures with his cigar to Major Maines. And Maines is currently in the process of pouring himself a drink. Major Maines here will lead a squad of hand-picked men to effect the arrest of certain town leaders. And with that, Maines raises his glass to you guys and winks. He appears to be at least 40 years old. His face is strong, tanned, and lined by years spent in the Marine Corps. A true leatherneck. His group is to enter the leader's mansion and there effect the arrests of certain town elders and their families. His squad will accompany Corso's squad down the river until they reach the bridge. Here, Major Mains will detach, heading north to their objective. And so, if you guys were to observe the map as it is right now, you see that number one. That's the route that Mains and Corso will take together. And then at some point, you see they cross the river and go over a bridge. And then two kind of heads up to the northwest to where the town elders are reputed to be located. Whereas Corso will continue on to the esoteric Order of Dagon, the cult HQ. All right. With me so far?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Mm-hmm. Then Rothler turns to the young lieutenant seated at the table. In the meantime, Lieutenant Dowd will head up two squads of Marines in boats who will enter the network of underground caves and tunnels to the southwest of town. These caves were once used by smugglers. We have reason to believe that they may be used today as part of a white slavery operation. Lieutenant Dowd is to look for evidence of this as well as demolishing the empty warehouses those tunnels lead to. And N chimes in again. Robert, this will require your special, shall we say, talents.
Robert will grin.
And then N looks somewhat apologetically. Oh, Eva, you will be accompanying Major Mains to the home of the town elders with Dr. Najjar.
Dr. Najjar.
What was that, please? Did you say something, Gersh?
I don't trust that Jar guy. Someone else talking, and I don't know who that is.
Okay, got it. All right, so then Rothler turns to the naval officer, Commander Hurst. Next, the U.S. Navy has provided us with the services of Commander Hurst. And Hurst has his gold-trim dress blues on that look magnificent compared to the olive drab of the Marine officers. Hurst looks every inch the officer. He's strong-jawed. He comes across as intelligent, and he raises his hands to the group, his hand to the group, as if acknowledging who he is. Commander Hurst will command three vessels charged with patrolling the coastline. Some of the culprits may attempt to escape by boat. It is the responsibility of Commander Hurst to see that they do not get away. And N chimes in. Cahill. You will be part of this operation. You will be on the command ship with Commander Hurst.
Sweet.
And Rothler begins again. As some of you know, this meeting was also to be attended by Commander Harrow of the United States Navy. Commander Harrow was unavoidably delayed by a submarine rescue operation off the North Coast. His vessel, the S-19, is due to arrive in the next hour. Sealed orders regarding his mission await his arrival. And once again, N chimes in. Hugh, naturally, you remain, and you will be assigned to operations on the submarine.
So what is the submarine's mission?
Well, those orders are sealed.
Okay.
And will be revealed to the members on the submarine once they are on board, once the commander has them.
You must be loving that.
Very well, sir. I feel that my role is with the troops on land, but do as ordered, obviously.
Obviously.
And I just find it odd that we're aware of every other mission that's occurring here with every other commander. Why this one is in secret.
Why the submarine mission is secret?
Yes.
Well, operational security is of the utmost importance. We wouldn't be doing anything necessarily any different were this a traditional standard military operation. Surely, you know, let's leave it to the United States Navy on how they want to conduct their security. You focus on capturing those town elders, madam.
Okay. I'll rephrase the question I asked in the other room. Perhaps someone else will provide a better answer. How are a number of academia and a handful of Marines supposed to take over a town that may not have Nazis and is 50% cult and capture and question everyone in the town?
Well, we certainly are bringing quite a lot of firepower. The patrol boats themselves are quite formidable with their armaments. The Marines are numbering somewhere in the dozens, and that's just the main forces that you'll be attending to. As was suggested in the briefing, there'll be other roadblocks and patrol groups that will be throughout the town who may not be assigned to your missions. All told, we're talking about over 150 Marines and naval personnel.
Okay. We'll do our best.
Wunderbar. So the colonel begins to wrap up the briefing. I suggest we spend the next 20 minutes or so getting to know each other. The SOE advisors will be participating in these actions, and I think it would behoove some of these officers here to see what they can learn from them. All right. So the group kind of breaks up into kind of less formal presentation mode and discussions. Some of the officers are talking amongst themselves. Some of them are talking to Urin or N. Perhaps they're engaging with you in small talk. Does anybody have anything that they'd like to ask or anybody that they'd like to talk to?
I want to talk to Dr. Najjar. I'll be going with him on this mission.
Okay.
Hello, Doctor. It appears that we'll be heading into the town together. Just want to get to know you a little bit more. What are you up to again?
I've been a consultant on these types of, shall we say, situations before. I have been a consultant for the United States military at different times, and it seemed that my services were needed once again. What appears to be a somewhat dire situation. I will say that I am not sure that the government, the Americans, necessarily understand what they are getting themselves into.
Consultant of the unusual, shall we say?
Yes. Mr. Drew and I have worked together on a number of occasions.
What assignments within Europe have you been to?
We've just met.
Perhaps we'll talk more later.
Yes, you know, naturally there is some delicacy over these matters. Yes, but perhaps after this success, what I'm sure will be a successful outcome, we will have time to talk in detail.
Bring a gun.
I tend to stay away from firearms unless absolutely necessary.
Flamethrowers are also handy.
And with that, he turns away. He strikes you as very scholarly and perhaps an academic of some kind.
Kind of looks like Where's Waldo dressed as an Indian.
Could be.
Not bad.
Anyone else?
Robert's going to stand uncomfortably and not meet anyone's eyes.
Okay.
Don't you love Robert?
I'll pour myself another Irish whiskey.
Yeah. No, Robert, if that's available, he's going to be hovering around.
Okay.
Well, I guess Hugh's going to sidle up to Commander.
Commander Hurst?
Yeah, the naval commander, to say, so is there anything you can tell me about the submarine that I'm to join?
I'm going to stand there closely as well.
I'm an army officer. I'm not a naval officer. Never really spent much time aboard ship.
Yes. Well, you know, obviously we're not, you're not here for your sea legs necessarily. You know, I don't have much underwater experience myself. All I can tell you is that the S-19 is an S-boat. It is crewed by approximately 24 to 25 crew members, plus a handful of officers. You know, naturally outfitted with armaments, torpedoes, and bridge guns and things like that. But anything else is really kind of beyond my direct knowledge.
Hugh just sort of smiles politely and nods and thinks to himself, what a useless twat this guy is. Has another sip of his whiskey.
Make a note of it.
Yes.
Cahill, make a note of what a useless twat this guy is.
Write this down.
Well, thank you, sir. It's very informative.
You're glad I could be of help.
Robert,
now, where is Cahill? He joining me on the.
I'm standing right next to Hugh. So.
Ah, Cahill. Yes. You'll be on the Urana with me. Our cutter will be joined by the Vigilant Inspector.
Very well.
In fact, the ships, we'll all be taking those ships to our place of our operational start. So we'll all load up there. We have perhaps about another hour until we expect the ships to arrive and take us closer to the coast.
Although, what sort of assistance would I be expected to lend offshore?
Well, you know, you'll be my primary advisor on the unusual that we may run into. Naturally, you'll be expected to serve in other capacities as the need arises, but I think you'll understand more once you're on the ships.
Okay.
And some of you noticed that James, who was out getting the whiskey earlier, the young man in front office, has walked in and has handed a note to Mr. Drew. And everybody give me a psychology roll.
Success.
Oh, well.
Wow. You guys are killing it tonight. Okay. So everybody passed, basically. Get your little checks. And you notice, even though he's generally been hard to read you notice a look of concern come over Drew's face, Mr. Drew's face. Gentlemen, madam, may I have your attention for a moment? I've just received word that it appears that we've come across information that suggests that our investigation may have been discovered. We've had agents in the on the ground who have supplied us with some of the first-hand information that we've had, and it appears that perhaps their cover has been blown, and that might even extend to our operation. Time is of the essence. I am going to go make arrangements for our sea craft to join us as soon as possible here at the Roanoke. And I will attempt to get word to the S-19 to join us here as well. And we will all board up shortly.
Should we rethink the plan?
Nah.
We could. Naturally, a plan this complicated and intricate has taken quite some time to prepare in the first place. Changing it now, probably to avoid the most risk, would be require us to put it off far beyond any time that would be comfortable. The time to strike is now. I'm sure you feel the same, right? Leading question.
Sure, I'll salute and do my duty. But like you say, if it's a complicated plan, if any part of it's been compromised, it's gonna put the whole mission at great risk.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, fortunately, we're dealing with the best Navy and Marines in the world. Present company accounted for. Our British friends are certainly well suited. But yes, we believe we have the matter in hand, and fortunately, the planning will start to pay off shortly.
I'll sidle up to Dr. Najjar. You might want to rethink that gun.
Perhaps you are right.
Yeah, I was going to go talk to Dr. Najjar for a minute.
Okay. Yes. Yes. So just... I understand you are a doctor as well.
Doctor.
Yes, I am. I'm a doctor of archaeology. And your expertise is?
Parapsychology.
Very interesting. So what can you...
I'm not a psychologist, but I believe one of those British boats.
I did stay at a Holiday Inn last night. So, as it turns out, I'm going to be advisor to some troops that's going to be advancing on the Cult HQ. If I have that right. Is there anything that you can tell me that might be helpful?
From what we have learned, this is a very, very, very dangerous group of individuals. You will be well served to take care and prepare for close action. Fortunately, you will be led by members of the Marines who are quite capable. As Captain Corso has quite a strong reputation among the members here. Everybody else give me... everybody can give me a spot hit and roll as well. Oh my gosh.
All green, baby.
Wasting it all right now.
You see the clipboard.
Yeah.
Shiny.
The jar shows you a small paper doll that he carries with him. Yeah. So while all these discussions have been going on, and people have been getting to know each other, you have noticed that Lieutenant Dowd, and he's the one who was going to take a couple squads via rowboat into the smuggler tunnels with Robert. He has been kind of standing apart from the group. He hasn't been introducing himself. Your impression is not so much shyness or awkwardness. He comes across as aloof. Perhaps superior to the rest. Perhaps you aren't worthy to talk to.
Oh, you should have gone.
Robert's going to walk up to him.
How many drops is this for you, Lieutenant?
38.
That's right. Simulated. It's all simulated. So Robert will just walk up to him and not say anything, but just kind of look him in the eye.
And he kind of catches that you're looking at him, and he's got a glass of whiskey in his hand, and he kind of nods, kind of gives you a hey. You know, hey, a nod that kind of just says, hey.
Sup.
Takes kind of sips and doesn't quite turn away from you, but doesn't directly engage you either.
Robert doesn't respond in any way, just keeps staring at him.
And without turning to you, but clearly speaking to you, Dowd says, just be ready to go and don't get in the way. The Marines will handle this.
Robert's going to smile. Lieutenant, have you ever done this before?
The Marines have prepared us quite well for operations such as this.
Robert will laugh out loud. Good luck, Lieutenant.
I've taught plenty of men about this type of operation. There are no worries.
You've taught plenty of men about operations dealing with existential horror.
Sure. If that's what you think it is, perhaps not. Anyway, we will deal with it the same way. The Marines force cannot be denied.
When you're slobbering on your dressing, Lieutenant, we can rehab this conversation.
Fair enough. We shall see. All right. So time has passed. Drew has announced that.
Why doesn't Robert have any friends? I just don't understand.
Drew has announced that the submarine and the smaller naval ships are approaching. All right, so let's take a time out. Let's get out of character for a moment, and let's talk about a couple things. All right, so there are five operations. Right, there are five members of Network N. You guys, right? So each one of you is assigned to one of these operations, and you are kind of an advisor / tag along. You are purported to have seen things and know things that will be helpful in these missions. We'll see if that's actually the case, but that's basically the way that you've been assigned. So each of you individually has received a sheet of characters. And there should be four characters on those sheets. Right? And each of those characters has a number next to it. And so they're numbered 1 through 5, but you will have one number that is missing. And the number that is missing is the number of the mission that you, real character, is on. All right? So for instance, Robert, no, Dr. Z is on mission 1, which is assaulting the cult HQ, the Esoteric Order of Dagon, right?
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay.
So Dr. Z, Rocket Man, he's got his main character, Dr. Z, for mission 1, but in the other four missions, he will be playing the characters that are on his sheet.
How very legacy of you, Ty.
Cool.
Right. So, in another way to think about it is each of you will be the star of one of these missions, and the other humans, the other four of you, will be playing support characters also on that mission.
That's pretty cool.
So it's like how Hugh sees every mission. He's the star. He's joined by four support characters. Yes.
Could be, yeah. Exactly right.
Just par for the course for Hugh, but for the rest of you,
something new.
All right. Okay. So a couple things. So the support characters, there is in many cases some information about their personality, their background, perhaps things they know and they don't know, or maybe not things that they don't know, but things that they know. You as role players have the opportunity to play those up, you know, add flavor to them, you know, get fun with them, do whatever you want that makes sense, add your own personality and twist on it. At the same time, the mission is really about the main PC, right? You know, unless something happens and, you know, one of the other people rises up. But really, you know, when it's the assault on the order, it's really about Dr. Z, right? So whatever you guys can do, you know, be, as far as like be a fan of the players, like this is your chance to be a fan of Dr. Z and bring flavor and character and all that kind of stuff to it, right? Yeah, there is a note at the top of each sheet that indicates some statistics are supposed to be multiplied by 5.
I was wondering about that.
They're from a prior edition, so if your strength is 16 in the current edition of the rules, it would really be 80. Right, so you just multiply it by 5.
That's awesome. I got insane sanity then.
Well, no. You'll see that sanity is... You'll see that sanity is not listed. It's really your main characteristics.
The sanity still looks pretty good to me.
Well, it depends. And then, otherwise, only your... only the skills that probably are going to matter are going to be listed. So, obviously, you don't have... And if there's something else, we can roll with it and make it up.
Awesome.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Got it. Yep.
That's super cool.
All right. A couple of other things. I think Eva via, you know, or Gersh via Eva had asked a pretty good question. So, in addition to your player characters, your support characters, there are also numerous Marine and Naval team members who are either on ships with you or in the town, like I suggested. As you are preparing to get on either the submarine or the naval boats, patrol boats, just a quick kind of tally here. There's probably about, 11 other Marines to go along with the PC, in this case Dr. Z, and the support character. So think of the 5 of you, there's probably another 11, so let's say 16 total team members who are going to raid the order. There are only 2, 4, 6, 7 who are going to the town elders. The smugglers tunnels are 2 squads, so we're looking at 28 total Marines and team members. On the ships, 30, 70, 80 or 90 total to staff or to crew all those ships. And then I think, as I suggested earlier, there's 25 or 26 on the submarine itself. So in total, on just the missions, I don't know, that's like 150 people. And then on top of that, there are, you know, roadblocks and checkpoints and small patrols going through town this entire time. And so just to give you a sense of it's not just, you know, six of you, and you'll see that as we get into some of these missions. It's February. It's going to be cold. It's about 23 degrees Fahrenheit. There's a hint of spitting snow that you'll come across once you get to town. The ground is iced over and crusty, which may make some movement slippery. And also, the reason I was explaining the size of some of these teams is because I may have to make accommodations that either do shortcuts for combat or shortcuts for sanity and things like that. So just keep with me and roll with it and have fun.
Okay.
All right. So the naval ships, the other naval ships, and the submarine sequentially pull up next to the Roanoke, and everybody but the submarine crew, the sub is already really crewed, but really it's just Hugh is able to get on the submarine, and everyone else hops on these patrol boats, and everyone starts making their way the remaining distance to Vlissingen. All right. Any last minute questions?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Let's start with... make sure I've hidden everything that I need to hide. Not quite. Let's hop over to the smuggler's tunnels.
Oh.
Fred Boat, not quite what I want. Oh, and just for the record, Kyle, in fact, I did write down the how many drops is for you, Lieutenant, quote on my notes here before today's session, because I knew it was too perfect.
I've already used the how do I get out of this chicken shit outfit, so we're due for another one.
That's right.
Never gets old.
For the record, when we go on these, if it ever gets confusing, I think if now I'm confused. Let's see. Come over here, guys. Son of a gun. You guys can't see anything, can you?
Nope. Black.
Nope. Are we in the tunnels? Is that...
Well, you're getting there.
I feel like I need to see a doctor about tripping.
All right, hold on. I'm having issues. Just talk amongst yourselves. Talk about how excited you are for this mission.
I'm assuming we can just declare what gear we have when we decide we want it. That's what I'm going
to
do.
So it might be good for you to know who is on your team.
Yeah, why don't you guys tell me who's coming, who's with Robert in the tunnel?
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Talk amongst yourself, but not about these topics.
Well, that's right. We can talk about how bad the U.S. and Canadian rugby teams are.
That's definitely a subject near and dear to my heart.
But Canadian games are
He has to walk back across the room to get close enough to his mic.
All right, so let's talk about, yeah, at a time. Let's look at these boats.
Some boat. Boats. Smuggler's Tunnel.
Why is this not working? There we go. All right. So there are, to the question, there are four boats. So yeah, you guys are taking the United States Navy ships, and at some point you disembark from one of the patrol craft in four rowboats. And the rowboats are split amongst two different squads. So each squad is taking two rowboats and is normally crewed by six team members. And depending on how far in you are zoomed, you can see that there's Able Squad and Baker Squad. So Boat 1, Able Squad, Boat 2, Baker Squad, Boat 1, Baker Squad, Boat 2. Robert finds himself seated in Able Squad, Boat 2. Lieutenant Dowd is found in Able Squad, Boat 1. And then you see a bunch of names, which highlights the other team members who, on their short row into coastline, are the people that you meet here and there. You either met them on the patrol boat, let's say, or you're meeting them on the rowboats for the first time. Of particular note is a sergeant Smeltz, Rudy Smeltz. You come to know him as a towering, bald-headed veteran whose best friend is Tommy, his Thompson submachine gun. He strikes you as a man who shoots first, then asks questions later. One of the main reasons he was selected for this mission. You peg him as perhaps about 38 years old, but certainly... yeah, I'll even say more manly than Lieutenant Dowd. You also have come to know Corporal Wold, also on Lieutenant Dowd's boat. And by all appearances and actions, he appears to be Dowd's boot kisser. And he's also the radio operator for Able Squad. But he is definitely has his nose up Dowd's backside. All right, a couple notes. So, first of all, on the boats, you should find, and I've got this in your handout section of Roll 20. Each boat has a watertight case containing 50 sticks of dynamite, 10 blasting caps with fuses, 5 mechanical timers, 4 5-gallon cans of gasoline, 6 emergency flares, 3 battery lamps, 2 cases of spare ammunition, and boat 2, where Robert is, contains 2 cans of extra fuel, which are each one is a refill for a flamethrower that Lance Corporal David Kay, who's in Robert's boat, also has. So who's playing Robert Kay?
That would be me.
Kyle.
Appropriate.
Flamethrower.
All right.
Although I will point out on my, and I don't want to give anything away on my on my biography, except that there's a reference to some experience he had in the Great War, but he's in his 30s.
Yeah.
It could be late 30s.
War is tough. It makes you forget things.
Well, he would have been, what, 15 if it was, if he was 39 or whatever, right? It was 26 years ago, so.
Yeah, could happen.
So,
yeah.
Maybe he's not really in his 30s.
You kind of cut out. He had what, experience in the First World War?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, if you watched that, did you watch that documentary that was just out this past year on the, was it, and then there were,
the
whatever the hell
Peter
was.
Jackson one?
The Peter Jackson.
Yeah, actually, 15-year-old weren't unheard of joining.
Wasn't unheard of, yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
You're Robert.
Like, I'm just going to tell Kyle, he's like my 15-year-old boy. I'm like, just accept it and move on.
Yeah.
Stop pointing out scientific inaccuracies in Avengers films, because it's not helping anybody.
Although I would point out that the drawings of the Marines are actually in World War I uniforms somewhere in 1940.
That's more of a CSW kind of comment.
Yeah, Jeff, that's over the line. Kyle was fine, but you crossed the line.
Fuck you all.
I might say the same. All right. So, a couple other housekeeping bits. Robert, while you are on one of the ships, you are offered your choice of a 45 automatic or a 30-06 rifle.
30-06 rifle, baby.
All right. I want you to write down 30-06 rifle.
Okay.
We'll get to stats later, perhaps. You are also given a commando knife.
I like it.
You are given a dark waterproof poncho, a knit cap, and a flashlight. And everybody's faces have been blackened.
Oh, like my prime minister's. Excellent.
Exactly. Exactly.
We already made that joke.
Hey-o.
Last night it was one.
Right.
What was it? Commando knife?
Yeah.
I don't remember the rest of the sheet. I had to find my sheet.
Yeah, poncho and a hat, a knit cap, and okay. you're all
okay.
Special forces.
Condoms, comma, extra small.
That's for, I put them on my pinky for when I butt. Because it's so tight.
That was not a good comeback, I'm sorry.
All right, so just recap the mission here, Robert. You guys are going to be dropped off from the naval ship about a quarter of a mile from the coast, where the entrance to both the harbor and this inlet to the smuggler's caves are found. There are 24 men divided into two squads of 12 men apiece. Able squad, Baker squad, two rowboats each. Let's see. I said a mile off the shore. And you're kind of looking for overgrown, half-drowned entrances to the old smugglers' tunnels, and you are asked to penetrate them as deeply as prudently possible. And
I'm glad you said prudent.
Yeah. On the way out, you are to set demolition charges along the way. And you're ultimately going to bring down and destroy a number of homes in the town that are suspected to be infested homes, these infested houses, infested by cult members or their allies.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really expect that these first blasts will destroy all the houses, but perhaps secondary concussions and resulting fires will finish the jobs.
Okay. Robert's going to introduce himself to Lance Corporal K. Say, stick with me.
We'll go play. We'll go places.
Yeah. Kay just grunts in reply.
All right. Well, then I'll stick with you. How about that?
Kay just grunts.
All right. So over, kind of in the map area. Let's see what I can show you guys. Without giving too much away.
Never had to pee so bad in my life.
All right. So over to the right of those boats, you start to now see part of a map.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see A1, A2, B1, B2. So those are the boats kind of rolling up, rowing up, I should say. I don't have it on the map here, but to the right, which would be to the east, is the harbor. So I don't know if you remember the main map that you saw in the briefing, but there's this kind of curved area that represents the harbor. And so you guys are just a little bit to the west of the harbor. And you are slowly, there's a couple team members each who are rowing up into the inlet. And the trip into the inlet is relatively uneventful. You do see the naval ships depart after dropping you off, or move away and take up position in between the harbor and what's come to be known as Devil's Reef. So the ships are between the harbor and the town, and then behind them is Devil's Reef. At some point, you saw the submarine kind of sail away. I mean, it spends most of its time, if not the entire time, on the surface. As far as you can see it, you suspect at some point one of the naval ships is going to drop off the troops who are assaulting the order and the leadership house. They need to be dropped off on the east side of town. But you don't necessarily see that. It seems to, you suspect that happened out of sight. So the inlet that you approach, it's not quite nighttime. It's dusk. There's a little bit of light. As you actually get into the inlet itself, you are struck by the briny nature of the water. It's very marshy and thick, and there's an algae on top of most of the water that gives off a slight amount of phosphorescence. It kind of casts this ghostly, eerie illumination just on the surface of the water of the inlet. So you are prowling the shores together, all four of the ships. Robert, give me a luck roll.
Okay. Oh, hard success.
Hard success. All right. Fortune smiles on the group, and within short order, a small overgrown entrance into a darkened tunnel ahead appears. And either by radio, at different times, either in discussions by radio or by conversations, because the boats are close enough, there's discussion among the leaders of each boat, and the leader on vote one, basically the de facto leader of Baker Squad is Lieutenant Carter. And you can't quite, Robert, you're close enough to vote one of Able Company to hear the radio call come in and says,
"Well, Lieutenant, I think we found one. I think we found an entrance into the tunnels."
And you can catch Dowd. He reaches down and grabs the radio speaker from Corporal Wold and speaks in.
"All right, Carter. I want you to take both of your boats. I'm going to take boat one and boat two and proceed into the tunnels and report back whatever you find. Over and out. In the meantime, radio silence. Thank you. Well done. Well done. Off to a good start. Well done, man."
And the Baker Squad, boat one and two, start rowing in this direction and disappear into the darkness of that tunnel right there.
Okay.
All right. All right, men. Let's see what else we... Robert, give me another luck roll.
Okay. Boost him down.
Fail.
All right. Let me see if I can put a little marker on there. Let's see how I do this. All right, you guys. Let's get Baker goes into there. And now you're going up here. Give me another luck roll.
Another hard success.
Right next to this strangely reversed circle. Robert, in fact, you're the one who spots it first. You see a tunnel. Would you like to speak up, or what would you like to do?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll probably tell the ugly-looking sergeant. I'll tap him on the shoulder and point it out to him.
Smeltz turns around to you. Yes?
I'm just going to point.
Aha! Well, you are of some use. Fantastic. Lieutenant, there's an entrance over here. And Lieutenant's boat rows over to you guys. Ah, I see. Well done, Smeltz. It was the civvy here, Lieutenant. He's got a pair of eyes on him after all.
Robert doesn't say anything or react in any way.
And it takes you about that long, and you hear some radio chatter come in.
Well, Lieutenant, the Carter here. Our path is blocked at this point. The tunnel, we'll be doing our best to get through. We think we can dig out after a couple moments. Over.
All right. And with that, the Able boats row themselves over to this entrance. And unfortunately, the tunnel is blocked by driftwood and debris. And really, it needs to be cleared before any of the boats can enter. And with that, Doubt shouts out, "Smeltz, have two of your men clear out that debris, and we need to make our way in there." "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. DeVore, Mayhew, up front."
"Yes, sir."
"I need the two of you to hop on there and start clearing that debris."
"Right away, sir."
And, Mayhew might be a bit quiet. He's not feeling too well. Kay, up front. Front center. We'll have you go up front instead. Don't question my orders.
"Sir, I got this freaking tank on my back. I can barely move."
"Put it down. Put it down. Let's go now." Come on, man. And so Kay and Devore,
I'm suppressing fire.
So basically, the entrance is about, we'll say, the entrance itself is maybe 5 feet above water, and certainly appears to, as you know, as far as you can tell through the mucky water, appears to go down, you know, underwater as well, and. Driftwood and debris and branches and whatever else has kind of clogged this. Now, either a combination of a footing that you can actually see, or perhaps on the all the muck itself, you feel pretty confident that you can at least get on there and start to clear it out. But it's gonna be manual work.
Great.
Hop to it, soldier.
How do I get out of this chicken shit?
Yeah, Sarge, I'm getting there.
Cache lifts off the flamethrower and then looks at Robert. Keep an eye on that for me. Thanks.
Robert will give him an eyebrow raise.
To a TK?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. All right, so, and there's probably really only enough room anyway for two men to work on this. You know, you guys get to work, and it's a little bit strenuous to pull this stuff apart. It seems to have been here for quite a while. Robert, what would you like to do? What are you up to at this point?
I think I'm probably just kind of looking around. Yeah. Keeping watch for anything. I wouldn't want to talk because who knows? You know, I don't want to give away our position.
All right, Robert, give me a spot hit and roll.
Okay. Where do I keep? Why do I keep closing it? Stupid.
Okay. Time passes. Kay and Devore, give me a strength roll. Remember to do your times 5. Right.
I used to do a D100, right?
D100. Yeah.
D100. Boom. Oh, she failed.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, not many people that strong.
But I'm close, actually, which is kind of...
Wow.
You're close-ish.
I actually passed, because mine's 80.
Wow.
Oh, really? Okay. Shouts out. Come on, Devore. Put your back into it. We ain't got all night.
Yeah, Sarge. I'm getting it.
Robert, give me another spot hit and roll, and Devore, give me another strength roll.
Succeeded this time.
Ooh, that'd be my strength is 80, so I think that's certainly a hard success. I don't know if it's a critical, but it's
It's extreme.
It's extreme. Right. Extreme. Yes. Thank you.
All right. Almost simultaneously, The debris that's blocking the entrance is kind of disassembled enough that it kind of collapses upon itself and whooshes into the tunnel as if it's, you know, as if the current takes itself in. Like, you guys broke it up enough and it whooshes under. Robert, you see a vast and fast-moving underwater shadow silently exit the tunnel. And it disappears into the inlet in the way that it came. And I say vast, certainly larger than one of your boats. Give me a sanity check.
Oh, fuck's sake. What did go wrong?
He's on the right mission.
Oh, surprisingly, I failed.
Fail. You lose 1d2 points. Of sanity.
So it's like we're in the, like, the 10% stage.
I was gonna say just take two, luckily. Yeah.
Reaction to this surprise? You appear to be the only person to have seen it, Robert.
I'm not going to say anything.
All right. The tunnels. The tunnel opens up in front of quad boats, and you guys make your way in. All right. So let's take a look at what I can show you. So hopefully you're seeing some of the tunnel come to life. All right, so...
Yeah, a little bit.
Just a little narrow sliver beyond the entrance there.
Mm-hmm, looks all like right. Almost looks like stairs down at the entrance, or is that just a...
Oh, yeah. That's just where the entrance is located. It's just a symbol.
That's where we are right there, right?
So you guys you guys have rode in through, and now you're making it way up the tunnel there. Get a different color there.
That's pretty clear.
Yeah. There you are. Okay. So the tunnels, as you first experienced them, they appear to be natural caves. They are slimy and choked with rotting debris, and you can definitely still feel that current that drew in the debris that was cleared, right? So that seems to be persistently something that you're experiencing. From time to time, you come across sections of the tunnel that is blocked, much like the entrance was, by decaying wood, but other organic material that you can't quite identify. It appears to be organic. It seems to be clogging some parts of the cave, but doesn't quite, you don't quite recognize it. And then I mentioned the kind of ghostly illumination that was outside in the inlet from some of the algae. That continues in to the tunnel, but it is also kind of cakes across some of the walls. You'll find it on the surface of the water, but also of the walls of the tunnel itself. And finally, you are assailed by the reeking stench of decaying fish and what you presume to be the sludge on the floor, on the bottom of the tunnel. So at this point, Dowd orders you guys to continue moving in, and the tunnel winds its way around, and after a period of time, you find a much larger blockage than what was discovered at the entrance. And if I can... pull that together. I don't know how much if you guys can see, but right where that red line ends is basically where the blockage is. And this is not only where the blockage is, but where the current is strongest. Like the current is pushing into this area. The jam itself is about 12 to 15 feet high in different locations. You suspect that you could clear it after quite a bit of work. We're talking dozens and dozens of minutes, but that's about what you know at this point. There is perchance an opportunity to walk on the debris if you needed to for some reason.
But it doesn't look like we can climb over it. goes up.
No, yeah. I mean, from where you are, it appears that the blockage is high and goes back, and you're too low to see, like, over it. And it's perhaps too dark, or your flashlights don't quite reach back there.
Okay. Well, I'm not in charge of this mission.
Well, Sergeant, you know the drill. We're going to need a couple more men at this point. Let's have a different crew this time. We'll have Anzac and Cooley from my boat, and we'll have Pollard and Pelkey. Why don't you get to work?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm gonna. As I get up, I'm gonna light my cigar. I'm gonna take three sticks of dynamite, and I'm gonna time around the blast cap, and take my cigar and light the fuse, and I'm gonna hand it to Robert.
And Robert's gonna put it out because the mission's covert.
Yeah. Robert's going to take his fingers and kind of break the fuse off.
So yeah, I hear you're my kind of guy as I step off and start clearing wood.
Robert will raise an eyebrow at him and give him a little smile.
And Rocket Man, who are you playing again?
Pollard.
Pollard, okay. Got it. All right, so I need Pollard and Pelkey to... give me D100 rolls, please.
Booyah.
Boo.
All right. So you guys get to work. And work is going slowly. But at some point, the four of them are kind of walking around. They're making some progress. Some of the debris is coming apart. And all of a sudden, who did I say? Cooley? Cooley falls through a weak spot in the debris. Splash! And you hear, what was it, Anzac? Anzac runs up as best he can on the shaky debris and goes to the section where Cooley was. Cooley! Cooley! And he actually reaches his arm into the water. I don't see him! I don't see him!
Let me help look!
Who was that, Pelkey?
Yep.
Pelkey, what do you want to do?
I'm going to go running over to Anzac and start digging my hands in the water and see if I can feel anything.
Okay. Yeah, you guys are scrambling around. And by this point, Dowd in his boat and Smelt in his boat are quite close to the debris now. Everybody's kind of rolled up to see what's going on or to help at some point. And after a couple of minutes, a splash is heard from the direction in which the two boats came. Splash. As if something was reaching the surface.
Robert's going to reach back and pull his rifle off his shoulder and load it and aim.
Okay.
And, it's going to be at a ready position, but...
All right, aiming. Yeah, and most everybody else does the same thing as well. And a body who can only be Cooley... rises to the surface as his raincoat, the buoyancy seems to have captured some air and has brought him to the surface. And you guys are close enough to see his face has been shredded into bloody tatters. I need everybody who's a character to make a sanity check.
I rolled the same number I rolled before. broken. You're broken. Come back. I'm glad you repeated that, Jeff, so we could
definitely. My mic was away from my mouth. Hear me the first time.
All right, who succeeded, who failed?
I succeeded.
PFC Gabor failed.
K succeeded.
All right, if you succeeded, you lose 1 point. If you
what?
Failed, you lose 1. And if you succeed, you lose 1. Oh, no. Let me do this. Yeah, if you succeed, you lose 1. If you failed, you lose 1d4.
See, that's how you roll, Robert. See that?
Jesus fucking Christ.
God.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, I don't sigh for no reason.
Robert, so you lost
4.
That is 1/5 of my current sanity.
Yeah. Alright. Well, you're okay.
Ish.
Yeah.
Ish.
You're okay, ish.
I totally like where this is going.
All right. I'm sorry, Pollard. How many did you lose?
I lost 1. Okay. I succeeded.
Helki.
I lost one.
Yeah. K.
Lost 1.
DeVore.
DeVore failed. However, he only lost 1 because he rolled properly.
Robert, you're the best.
Robert's gonna take a stick of dynamite and a lighter. And just start like holding the dynamite and the lighter in the other hand.
Hey, throw it over here.
Napping, looking expression on his face, just in case. You know, in case he goes insane, just to have all the shit ready to go.
That's right.
All right, so. Cooley. Oh my God, what's going on? What's going on? Oh my gosh, Cooley, get him! And men, lay down and suppress the fire. No,
fall back, my squad.
Silence! I need silence. Silence. Doubt's trying to get control of the situation, and Smelt steps in, and that he's the one who really gets control. Quiet, man, quiet. Let the lieutenants talk. Thank you, Sergeant. All right, on double time. I need this debris cleared at once. Boat 2, get Cooley's body on board. No, we got room on our boat. Get him on our boat. So the folks from the soldiers, the Marines from boat 1, work to get Cooley's shredded body, shredded face. He's waterlogged. He's torn up, not just his face, but you know, all is down his back and his legs, just shredded and torn up. They pull his bloody body into boat 1. I wonder if there's anything. Yeah, nothing really too good. You see one of the lance corporals on that boat wrap the body up with the good. That good coat they had with him. He had poncho, waterproof poncho. They wrap him up in the poncho. And Smelta's boat gets to work. Robert, are you going to help out or are you going to stay back?
I think Robert would be hesitant to help out just because he feels like, you know, this is their mission. What he would do, though, while, like, whoever gets picked to go work on the debris, he would get his flashlight out and kind of hold it along the barrel of his rifle and kind of be looking down into the water. His flashlight looking down on the water, down the barrel of his rifle.
Thanks a lot. That really helps.
Okay. Yeah, so you stay in the boat and the Marines get to work. They're having a little bit more success. Naturally, they're a bit spooked by being on the same kind of shifty area that pulley was on and fell through. Robert, give me a listen roll.
Oh, fuck. I failed.
Okay. Okay, so after some time, the debris is at least partially cleared so that one boat can make itself, make its way out at a time.
So just curious. So yeah. You're only letting the lead character roll against stuff like that, or?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll try to make it clear who's supposed to roll.
We don't have stats for a lot of that stuff, so.
Well, my guy does. That's one reason I've asked.
Oh.
Lucky. You're busy moving stuff.
Yeah. If you'd like to make a roll, go ahead.
Ooh.
He made it.
You hear this kind of, I can only describe it as like a watery moaning that's, you can't tell the direction it's coming from, but it's kind of echoing or reverberating throughout the tunnel, the direction that you guys came from. So you, if anywhere, it's coming from behind you, but how close or how far it is, it doesn't sound like it's approaching. It's just kind of permeating the tunnel as a whole. And like a
I'm gonna start moving stuff just a little bit harder and faster.
That's it, Pelkey. No, you're not Pelkey. Who are you? You're Pollard. That's Pollard. It, Pollard. Keep at it. Smelt says to you. You seem to be putting in good work, so he's proud of your effort.
Don't worry, Sergeant. I can do it too.
Yeah. Okay, Pelkey. All right, so you guys clear the tunnels, and you make your way through. But like I said, there's only really room for one at a time to make it through. And so, let's see. Oh yeah, Dowd's boat goes first, kind of makes its way up around the bend here, and then behind him goes a Smeltz's boat. And by now there's no natural light, of course, right? So you guys are using flashlights, perhaps one or two per boat to kind of light the way. And as you make it around the bend, all of a sudden, Devore, you notice that Mayhew is no longer sitting next to you as you're rowing along. He's gone.
Sarge. Sergeant Smeltz. Mayhew's gone. Yeah. He's not in the boat anymore. He's right next to me, and then he's just gone.
And the flashlights kind of go back to that corner, and
it's all over, man.
He's gone. he's gone. There's no boat. There's no boats or boots. There's nothing. He's entirely gone. His equipment, his body, he's missing. He's gone.
Where's Basky?
And with that, let's call it a session.
All right.
Okay. I love the ambient sounds that you use. Yeah, it's good.
Is that working? Okay. Yeah, yeah. I think I figured some stuff out.
I'm the focus player, but still, so far I like it. Other than the insanity.
Yeah.
Looming insanity.
Yes.
So I guess just for so we're gonna cut from this mission, mm-hmm. and we'll be taking things up next session on the S-19 with Hugh.
Yay.
Which number is that?
Just a hint that you're pretty important for the next session, Hugh. So
kind of a big deal.
Don't flake on us.
Kind of a big deal.
I'm sure I'm away next weekend, so I'm there on the 20th.
Okay. Cool. All right. Oh, thanks goodness. For letting me.
The 20th.
What was that?
The 20th. Are you going, Ty? You're not going, are you?
Oh, I'm not. No, is that what the con is?
It's the next week.
Yeah, yeah, it's the next weekend.
Apparently now it starts on Tuesday.
Yeah. It's a mission creep. Yeah. Con creep.
Let's just make it a whole freaking week. Come on.
Yeah, seriously.
Cool. All right, guys. Good stuff. Thanks for letting me talk your ear off with all the background and planning and everything. But,
it's an interesting conceit.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I really dig this.
Cool. All right, you guys.
All right.
See you next time.
See you later, guys.